Our text this morning is found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, the opening words of the verse. Take heed unto thyself. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy somewhere around AD 63. At that time, Paul was in Macedonia. Timothy was in Ephesus. And this letter was intended to help Timothy with the task of leading and organizing the Ephesian church. Not surprisingly, therefore, subjects are systematically dealt with in the epistle. Chapter 1 deals with the doctrine of the ministry, seeing that the ministry of the Word of God is of vital importance to the establishing of a church and to the strengthening of a church. Chapter 2, therefore, deals with public worship. In particular, prayer is mentioned, but also there is mention of details of due decorum in the house of God and how we should behave ourselves in worship. Chapter 3 deals with church government and church service, as Paul gives an account of the qualifications of elder and of deacon. Chapter 4 deals with the need for sound doctrine and for godly living. Chapter 5 deals with fellowship in the church, helping and strengthening one another. Chapter 6 deals with clear separation from the world. Well, we are here in chapter 4, a chapter which deals with sound doctrine and with godly living. Paul addresses Timothy, the young minister, who has gone to Ephesus to assist local officers and ensure that things are done there decently and in order. And he addresses the young minister, first of all, concerning public life. And you'll see this from verse 11 to verse 13. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He's to teach the good word of God, and he is outwardly to maintain a godly example. So sound doctrine and godly living in public life. And then he turns to private life in verses 14 to 16. And he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear before all. He is to develop, exercise the gift of ministry, which he has been given, and he must ensure that his life is a commentary upon these things which he teaches, that his profiting may appear to all. So again, sound doctrine in private, the reading of it, meditation upon it, and seeking to live out that which he learns from God's word. And it's in this context that we have these noteworthy words in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 4. Take heed unto thyself. Those words were written for and directed towards a minister who was engaged in pastoral work. But the words are applicable to all believers in whatever sphere they may be found. God's word says to us individually, take heed unto thyself. And there are three things I want to observe from this text this morning. First of all, a duty enjoined. Take heed unto thyself. Secondly, a duty neglected. Hence Paul reminds Timothy of the duty. Take heed unto thyself. And thirdly, a duty discharged. Paul hopes that Timothy will receive those words of exhortation and that his advice to him will yield good fruit in the days to come. So we return to the words, take heed unto thyself. And under the first heading, a duty enjoined. Here and in many other scriptures, we are told that we have a God-given responsibility to preserve our souls from sin, to promote holiness of heart and life, and to maintain sweet and free communion with God. That is our mandate. That is what we are called to perform. Take heed to thyself. Watch against sin. Pursue holiness. Enjoy communion. The responsibility is with you. Take heed unto thyself. Now, is that indeed a duty which Scripture generally enjoins upon God's people? The answer is yes, it is. And I want to give you a selection of verses from the Old and New Testaments which say more or less the same thing. Take heed unto thyself. We go back so far as Moses, in his final exhortation to the children of Israel contained in the book of Deuteronomy, as we have heard in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, Moses says to the people, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Only take heed to thyself. It could be understood to mean this: be very careful and watch yourselves very closely, because you are expected by your God to do this and to look after your spiritual life. He says much the same later in the same chapter, chapter 4 and verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. Verse 23, take heed unto yourselves. Moses is commanding them concerning the godly life. But he lays the responsibility with them. It's a case of an emphasis here upon human responsibility. I leave it with you, he says. And so our text, take heed unto thyself. As we turn the pages of the Old Testament, we come to the book of Proverbs and chapter 4 and verse 23. And there we shall find these words. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart. This is a truth to which Solomon returns repeatedly, using different words, but the same basic understanding is there. Proverbs 23:19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Keep thy heart. Take heed to thyself. John Flavel says on this verse, this is nothing else but the constant care and diligence of the renewed man to preserve his soul in a holy frame to which grace has reduced it, and daily to strive in order to hold it or maintain it. Take heed to thyself. The Lord Jesus confirmed this truth in his own teaching to the disciples. In Mark 13 and verse 33, he says, take ye heed, watch and pray. Words later to be found on his lips in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The exhortation to watch is defensive. The exhortation to pray is positive, in view of what might soon confront you. Seek the presence and the strength and the help of God. When he says these things, take ye heed, watch and pray, what he means is keep spiritually awake so as to face the approaching trial and avoid the possibility of falling into sin. The responsibility rests with you. You are to take care of your soul and to ensure that you're none the worse for what is soon to come to pass. Take heed unto thyself. Now, when later the apostle addresses the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 28, he speaks these words, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." If you look at the context, he had spoken of his own fidelity, that he'd come to Ephesus and he preached the whole counsel of God, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants like fidelity from them, his hearers. And so he urges upon them not only to attend to these things, but to give anxious care about their spiritual states in order that they might please God and be useful to others. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he very boldly writes this, Philippians 2:12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Yes, work it out. That not only means carry it on, but make it manifest. Ensure, because this is your duty, ensure that you produce the fruit of that salvation in holiness of life. It will be a process, and the part they take is important, even as it is active. Paul says, "This is the will of God concerning you. Work it out." If God has shown you grace and has wrought a work in your hearts, then it is your responsibility to maintain it, to exhibit it and display it in a godly life, and to see that you are, to ensure that you are a man or woman of God that the world may see and know. Work it out. To whom does the apostle speak? To them. Work it out. Is not the Spirit of God involved? Are not ministers involved? Yes, but not here. He's laying down human responsibility. You must consider this. You must work at it. You must preserve a godly and holy life. Work it out. And there's John the Apostle. In his second epistle, written to the elect lady, he writes this, and I quote from 2 John, verse 8. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought." Just before this verse in 2 John, he had referred to the presence of false teachers and deceivers. Therefore, he writes to the elect lady and her children, and he says, "You cannot afford to do nothing." Look after yourselves. Remember sound doctrine. Remember the holy life to which you were called. Remember this and maintain it. Look to yourselves. But will not God look to that? Yes, he will, but that's not the truth John is presenting here. God expects you to exercise your God-given responsibility. Look to yourself. Will not my pastor do that for me? Well, I hope he will. But that's not the truth taught here. You have concern for your own soul. And you have a duty enjoined upon you to ensure that your soul does not suffer loss, to ensure that you do not fall into open sin, to ensure that you go on with God. Look to yourselves, because Paul adds this, if you don't, then all that we have done among you by way of teaching and example will be wasted. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. It's possible to understand what Paul means. We imagine for some of them he's taken them and he's taught them and he's nurtured them. He's answered their questions. He's given them godly counsel. He's pointed out the right way. He spent hours with them in their homes. In their places of worship. He spent himself teaching the truth. And if these people relapse, they fall back into the world, and they become ashamed to their God and to his church, it's all been to no avail. We have wasted our time. It's an awful thing for a minister to even to think that he has lost those things which he has wrought. But I would be a fool to say that it never comes into a minister's heart. A young person perhaps professes faith. Everything is done to lead them on, to afford them friendship and strength, and to give them the right advice for living. And then we find that the world's morality, or rather immorality, has overtaken them. They've turned aside from the teaching of Scripture. And they are living in sin. To what purpose was all that teaching? Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought. One final quotation here from the Epistle of Jude in verse 20, where he writes this: ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. What he means is this, when he talks about building up yourselves, we bear the responsibility for self-development, for growth in the Christian life, for the maintenance of obedience We carry that responsibility. Ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Building suggests an ongoing work. It is, in fact, a lifelong work. It involves applying the scripture to every aspect of our lives. Thus making sure that there's no weakness at any point. There's no flaw in our Christian profession, but we are living according to God's word, the way that God would have us live. Who takes charge of that? You do, says Paul. There's not much room there for a hyper-Calvinism, is there? Not much room there for sheer godless fatalism. In his first pastorate, Andrew Fuller, the friend of Carey, went out one day and saw one of his congregation drunk in the gutter. The man had been ill-taught. And when Fuller rebuked him for his drunken state, he said, "It was God that willed this. That's why I'm here." And so he put the blame upon the Lord to evade his responsibility to be holy. You cannot do that. And yet, we are masters of it, aren't we? We go through a difficult patch, and we blame God. Life has been hard lately. It's no wonder I said that or did that. I'm not responsible. It was trouble that drove me to it. Or the minister is to blame. Well, you see, I suppose it was over a period of time. I didn't get much out of the sermons. And thus I declined. I cannot blame the minister for what you failed to do. Neither can you blame the church. The church may be defective in a number of ways, but the duty is enjoined upon you. Take heed unto thyself. And secondly, a duty neglected, that it is in danger of being neglected, is evident from this exhortation. Timothy was bearing pastoral responsibility in Ephesus. One of the great temptations of the ministry is to be trying to look after other people and failing spiritually to look after yourself. And so the word of God is neglected, except perhaps for the preaching of and preparing of sermons. Prayer is neglected, except perhaps to ask a blessing upon what is preached. Therefore, ministers are in constant danger of being so taken up with work for others that they neglect their God-given task of preserving godliness within. Take heed to thyself. It's evident too from the exhortations, some of which I've given you, which all say the same thing from various parts of Scripture, that it is too easily overlooked and too commonly forgotten. Let me show from Scripture briefly that it is true, that it is a duty too often neglected. When our first parents found themselves in a wretched state on account of the fall, do you remember what God said to Eve, recorded in Genesis 3? What is this that thou hast done? An awful word that. Very searching. To our first parent, I don't read that it was permissible to blame her husband if he'd been a bit stronger. I wouldn't have done it. You wives present, take heed of that. Your husband may be defective, but the ultimate responsibility for your spiritual life and for your life of holiness rests with you. I suppose she could have blamed her God, but it wouldn't do. God had given them both the responsibility to remember the commandment concerning the forbidden tree. And they had forgotten their responsibility and acted irresponsibly. What is this that thou hast done? As if to say, I gave thee charge. I commanded obedience. It was delivered to you. Yours was the duty. What have you done? In the days of King Hezekiah, we read in 2 Chronicles 29 that he gathered the priests and the Levites together concerning their service. And the king says to them, 2 Chronicles 29:11, my sons, be not now negligent. Take heed to thyselves. Take heed. In Psalm 81 and verse 13, we have these words, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. What was it that I laid upon them, the duty of hearkening to me and turning their knowledge into practice, walking in my ways. That was what I required of them. I made them responsible. I hold them accountable. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and verse 6, the church is speaking. This is what she says. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. She's acknowledging that she's been busy about this and that and the other thing. She's performed many good works. She's looked after others' interests. But mine own vineyard, my own state before God, my own heart, the affairs of my own soul, I've not looked after them. And that was my responsibility. It was my vineyard. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, let us not sleep as do others. Be awake to what you should be about. Be awake to the work you must perform regarding your soul, to keep yourselves as far as you are able in holiness and in blessing. He writes elsewhere, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. If you depart, the fault is with you. Take heed. That there be not in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. What I'm saying this morning is we can't shelve the responsibility. No, not upon parents, upon siblings, upon friends. We can't do that. Take heed unto thyself. It's a subterfuge. It is trying to wriggle out of your God-given responsibility, in effect, to deny that responsibility. And to say, oh God, it is not my fault. And all scripture says, it is thy fault. A duty neglected. And finally, a duty discharged. The apostle very much wants Timothy to heed this. To feel its force, to put it into practice. Take heed unto thyself. Those words, take heed, mean that we are to keep a strict eye on ourselves, observing the first disturbing signs that something is going amiss. And then seeking to rectify the tendency through the Word of God in prayer. Take heed. What is included in thyself? Well, we are bodies and we are spirits. Take heed to thy body, that it's not neglected, that it's not pampered, but above all, take heed to thy soul, that it prosper. And use all the helps and means available to strengthen what is within you. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Take heed to thy soul. So in effect, that means keeping yourselves from obvious temptation, resisting the overtures of the world, watching your very thoughts, that they become not the seeds of sin, and to that end maintain your time of devotion daily with God, prayer, the reading of the Word of God, worship. Maintaining purity of life, not to watch through the media anything unseemly. Anything which is going to be suggestive to you and lead you into sin, turn it off. Put the paper down. If necessary, destroy it. Preserve your soul. Take heed unto thyself. Bring the Word of God to bear upon your heart. Pray in the presence of God and maintain that sense of God's presence with you. Seek grace that you will live an overcoming life. Recall every day what you owe to God in Christ. And therefore slide not into the sin from which he redeemed you. And remember, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every man shall be judged according to his works. Not according to the works of others. They will not be judged for not being your helper, not being there for you, not giving you the right advice. Surely they should have done that. They doubtless will answer for that themselves, but when the judgment comes to you, it is betwixt you and your God. And he will examine your works, the works which you should have performed. The godly, holy, and righteous works of a Christian. That is what God required, and that is what God demands. Therefore, my friends, if things are beginning to slip, take heed unto thyself. Prayer slipping away. Determine that tomorrow, no, today, you will find time to pray and to read the Word of God. Too busy and tired to be at the prayer meeting, then resolve in your heart, not from now on, I will meet with God's people to pray. And if I'm too busy, too tired, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, full stop. I must find time to pray. And if there are things in my life which are creeping in, I must ensure that the fence is mended and resolve that thou come in no more. If I'm compromised, I will determine to live for Christ, not for self. That's why I've been elected. That's why I've been redeemed. That's why I've been called to be the Lord's. And I am behaving as if it was all for my sake, to indulge my passion, to fulfill my desire. I am the Lord's. His vows are upon me. I heed the injunction today. Take heed unto thyself. And I don't want any man or woman or young person leaving this place this morning saying that's all very well, but. No, no, no. The buck stops here. We are very good at raising 1,000 excuses for the way we are. But Scripture says, take heed unto thyself. At the end, it will be required of you.